as we get started today, I want to begin by asking you this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say you are as far as being a control freak goes? On the control freak meter, on the scale of 1 to 10, what number would you put? In fact, right now, wherever you're at, wherever you happen to be watching or tuning in, especially if this is live right now, why don't you just go in the comments right now. Go ahead and put your number down. Are you a 1? Are you a 5? 7? 8? I gotta be honest with you. In total transparency, most of the time, I'm coming in at about an 11. I am. I am a major, major control freak. I like to be in control of things. And depending on the situation, it can be so much worse for me. I don't know about you, but there are certain things in my life where I try so hard to control every little detail of things. And when I don't have control, it causes me a ton of stress and anxiety. Am I the only one? Like, over the last several weeks and several months, my family has been getting ready to move. And if you've ever read any studies about the stress that moving puts on you, it's actually right up there with like death of a loved one, divorce, loss of a job. Like, moving comes in right behind that. It is an incredibly stressful time. The packing and the coordination of everything, changing all of your addresses and setting up new bills and utilities. I mean, there's just so much work, hours and hours of work that goes into it. It's incredibly, incredibly stressful. And I've had some moments, again, just in total transparency, over the last several weeks where I have just been overwhelmed, honestly, in a lot of ways by some anxiousness, by some fear and some anxiety. And the state of our world, come on, let's be honest right now, like the state of our world has not made this any easier. What's going on with COVID and all of the kind of stress and anxiety that has put on us in a multitude of different ways, like it has caused my kind of need to control. And again, I don't think I'm the only one to kind of go into overdrive. Right? Like, I want to plan every detail. I want to know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And for me, what maybe is worst of all is I start to play this game that I call the what if game. And I bet, whether you realize it or not, some of you have played this game, or maybe you play this game regularly, just like I do. And it goes like this. As a control freak, I often ask myself this question. Well, what if? What if this happens, right? What if this doesn't work out? What if, as I'm getting ready to make this move, something drastic or crazy happens in our lives that just throws everything off course, right? Should we even be moving right now in the midst of all of the chaos that's going on in our world? What if the economy just falls apart? What if I lose my job? What if my wife loses her job? What if things at True North Church don't go well? What if we do all of this stuff? What if we make this whole move and it doesn't work out and we did it all for nothing and we caused ourselves all this? And I could just go on and on and on. What if? What if? What if? Right? Have you ever found yourself playing that game? See, I've learned two things about control over the 37 years that I've been alive. Number one is that control is an illusion. And you can play that what if game all you want, but at the end of the day, you can't control anything. I mean, truly, you really can't. Because you can do everything right, you can make all the quote-unquote right decisions, and things can still go wrong. You can have the best laid plans, and something can happen that you just totally, comes across totally unexpected, that you just were not prepared for, right? Number one, control is an illusion. Number two, the more I try to control things, the more anxious and stressed I become. The tighter I cling to control, right? The more anxious I become, the more fearful I become. And that breaks my heart when I think about other people going through life like that, because I know, I know what it does to me and how it makes me feel, and this kind of overwhelming pressure that can put on me sometimes, that need for control. And so here's the question. Why am I telling you all of this? Well, we've been in a series for the last several weeks that we're calling God Is, where we've been looking at the very nature, the very heart and core of who God is, what makes him who he is. And we've talked about in the first 3 weeks, we've talked about the fact that God is love, that God is Lord, that God is Father. But this week, I want to dig into this idea that God is sovereign. What does that mean? That's just this really kind of churchy word that means that God is in control of all things. He is in control of everything. All that there is, all that we see, all of creation, he is in control over all of it, over time, outcomes, everything. And here's the problem that I think we have with that. There's something about that that doesn't sit well with us, is there, right? If you're a control freak like me, I want to be the one that's in control. And so when I hear that God is sovereign, that he is in control of all things, there are so many questions that start to run through my mind. Things that don't necessarily sit well with me. And maybe you've thought this, maybe you've asked these questions as well. Like, if God is sovereign, why is there so much evil in the world? I mean, why did he even allow evil at all? Right? If God is sovereign, why do bad things happen to good people? And on the flip side of that, why do good things happen to bad people? The truth is that for many of us, we don't like that God is in control because we don't like what God does with that control, with that power, right? If he is really all powerful, all knowing, if he is in control of everything, why does he allow some of the things that he allows? We don't like that. It doesn't sit well with us. See, right now, I know there are a lot of people who are scared. I know there are a lot of people who are anxious, and maybe you're grasping for control, like me. And maybe it's causing you even greater stress and greater anxiety in your life. And that's why I believe that right now is an unbelievably important time to talk about the sovereignty of God, to talk about the fact that God is in control. You see, if you're a little bit of a control freak like me, understanding this, whether you realize it or not, I believe could set you free in so many ways. It could be a game changer in your life. The answer to your fears, this is kind of the heart of this message and where this is coming from. The answer to your fears and your anxiety, this is what we need to understand. It's not going to be found in us trying to control more. It's not. That is only going to lead to more fear and more stress and more anxiety. Where it's actually going to be found is understanding that not only is God in control of it all, that our control, us controlling anything, is an illusion, but God is in control, and that him being in control is a good thing. It's a good thing because he knows exactly what he's doing. This is why it's so important to understand that God is sovereign, that he is in control. And so today I want to just unpack this idea a little bit. And this is, I'll tell you up front, this is a huge topic. We could probably spend 2 or 3 series just kind of unpacking this idea of God's sovereignty. But today I want to just kind of give a quick overview and give you the high nails of the sovereignty of God. And hopefully, I've been praying this all week, that this might help somebody who has been going through all of this COVID stuff, maybe some other personal situation, whatever might be going on in your life that you've been trying to control, that has been stressing you out and making you anxious, that this might help you today. So let's dive in. We're going to be looking in God's Word as always. This is the truth that we believe is paramount in our life, in our lives here at True North Church. This is who we. This is where we look for God's wisdom and guidance, and really every answer that we have about the challenges that we face in this life. And so today we're going to be actually starting in Colossians verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 16. And the first thing that we're going to look at is this, is that God is sovereign over his creation, over all creation. Let's read this together. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So first of all, what does it say? It says, he is the creator of everything. For in him, what? All things. Not some things, not most things. All things were created in him, right? It says things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That means the things that we can see, and this is so important for us to understand, the things that we cannot see, the things that are invisible, he created those as well. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, he says all things have been created through him. And don't miss this last part, because this is what I want to focus on here as we get started. Through him and for him. He created everything for his pleasure and his glory. God created all the everything that you see. He created it for him. For him to be glorified, for his pleasure. And I know that this is going to be really hard for some of us to hear. I think sometimes it's hard for me to hear. But we need to hear this today. That you are not the center of the universe. I am not the center of the universe. We, human beings, anything that has been created, it is not the center of the universe. God is the center. He is the center of the universe. And he created everything that we see, human beings and plants and animals and fish and birds and the stars and the heavens, all of it was created to bring him glory. And this is not a popular concept, it feels like, these days in the church. Because in the church, it feels like we want everything to be about us. We want everything to be about me and what I need and me being happy and me having joy. And we're going to get to that in a second, right? God, I want you to hear this. God is for your joy. He is for your happiness. He does want you to be satisfied. He does want you to live the best life you can possibly live. But it is not going to be found in us getting for ourselves what we think we need to get. It is actually going to be found when we bring glory to our Heavenly Father. And this is, come on, this is a huge stumbling block for a lot of people, isn't it? Because when you really think about it, it's almost as if God is like this narcissistic being, right? Everything has to be about him, right? And for a lot of people, that doesn't sit well with us. That doesn't feel right. But I want to challenge you to think about this in a different way. I thought about this week for the first time. It just hit me. It's that if we really, truly think about this, if we, ironically, in saying that if we don't like that God is just, you know, this narcissistic being, everything has to be about him, we don't like that, what we're really saying is that I want everything to be about me, right? I mean, think of the irony of that. We don't like it that God wants everything to be about him, and whether we actually say it or not, what we mean is, I want everything to be about me. Think about how hypocritical that actually is. You see, this is what we need to understand, that our greatest joy, our greatest satisfaction is found when we are glorifying God, not when we are glorifying ourselves. Why? Because that is how you were created. You were wired that way. Ultimately, it is the Creator who decides how everything works. I mean, a guy who makes clocks, a woman who makes clocks, the clockmaker, right? They get to decide how the clock works, how each piece, how each gear works together, fits together to make that clock and to tell time, right? The clock does not get to decide. The clockmaker decides. And in the same way, God decides how things work. And I think we have to humble ourselves and recognize we are the creation, we are not the creator. He is the creator. And if we want to find the joy and the satisfaction and peace that we're looking for, it's going to be found when we operate and function the way that we were created to function. And how were we created to function? To bring him glory. That's what we were made to do in everything we do, to bring him glory. And so first and foremost, we must understand this concept. God is sovereign over his creation. It is his creation, and he decides how it works. But I want you to hear this. Not only is he God over his creation, he has a plan for his creation, and it is good. He has a good plan, a good purpose for his creation. So first and foremost, we need to recognize we were created by him to bring him glory. But then second of all, that he has a good plan for us. Let's read another passage from Romans 8:28. This is what it says. And we know that in all things, again, not some things, not most things, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, first, let me preface before we get into this by saying this. This is one of the most misquoted passages of scripture in the entire Bible. Because what happens is that people will read this and they will interpret it as this, that God is going to give you all of the material possessions and all of the comforts of life, and your life, if you love God, all good things are going to happen to you. And that is not what this is saying at all. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to whose purpose? His purpose. And so he is working out his plan. He is working out his purpose in the world, and he has good things planned for those who love him. And so the question is, what are those good things? The good here is not referring, again, to earthly comforts, good things always happening to us, material possessions, etc., etc. The good here is for those who have been made new in Jesus Christ. That we can be assured that God is working for our ultimate good, that he is doing a work inside of us. He is changing us and making us more like him. He is desiring to give us more joy and peace and contentment. He has a plan for our ultimate fulfillment through Jesus Christ in heaven, in eternity with him. He is working all things, everything that we see and don't see, for the ultimate good and ultimate purpose of his glorification and our being glorified through Jesus Christ. That is the good that he is working out. And we struggle with this. Come on now. We do, right? We look around the world, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I look around the world and it's hard for me to trust sometimes that God has a good plan and a good purpose for me and for the world at large because of what I see. I mean, just look at what's happening in our world right now. It's hard to believe that sometimes. We don't trust, and here's why we don't trust. And this is, to me, this is the part that I think will really help you just to understand this. We don't trust because we don't see the whole picture. We don't see the whole picture, right? God sees everything. He is pulled back. He is above it all. He is outside of time and space. It's hard for us to even fathom that, but he sees the entire picture from start to finish, beginning to end. And we see this tiny little speck, right? And I think what's hard for us sometimes is that we wonder, okay, God, why haven't you revealed it all to us? Why haven't you shared it all with us? Because we want all the answers, don't we? Like, that's in our human nature. I want to know every single detail. I want to know how everything is going to work or work out or not work out, and I want to know it now, right? But let me ask you this. When you, if you're a parent, or when remembering back to when you were a child, do parents tell their children every little detail of what's going on? Every part of their plan for what they're doing? The answer is no, they don't. Why? Because it's not always good for them to know everything. There are some things that honestly are a need-to-know basis, right? And there are certain things that I believe we have to trust that God knows that aren't good for us to know at this point, but trust that He is in control and He has a plan. Think of it like this. Have you ever looked at an oil painting before? When you look at an oil painting, the closer you get to the oil painting, the more blurry it becomes. And if you were to take an oil painting, if you were to pull that right up to the as close to your eyes as you could get it, what would you see? You would see nothing but this blur of color. You would see just one tiny little, you know, portion of that painting. But if you took that painting and you began to pull it back, you would start to, things would start to become more clear. And if you pull it a little bit further back and a little bit further back, eventually if you step back 5 or 10 feet, you would see that entire painting. It would become so crystal clear, every detail, every fiber of that painting and the brushstrokes of how that artist worked on that canvas. You would see it all. In the same exact way, we just see that tiny little, it's like we have that oil painting pulled right up to our eyes. We see a tiny little bit. We are so close to the situation that we can't see everything. But God, He is standing back from that painting. He's 10 feet away. He can see every speck, how every piece of color works together. He knows how everything is working together. And He is working it all for His ultimate good and for your ultimate good, for the good of those who love Him. He sees the whole painting. And the question that we've got to wrestle with today is this: do we believe that? You see, this is where faith comes in. Scripture talks about how important faith is. It's so vitally important that we believe and trust that God's plan and God's purpose, number one, is good, that it's better than anything we could imagine, and that He is working all things ultimately for our good. Because when we finally trust that, it changes everything. It changes how we live. It brings a joy and a peace and a freedom like we can't possibly imagine. And so I want to bring this back full circle. I know that right now there are so many people who are stressed out, who are anxious, who maybe are living in fear. The world feels so uncertain. You're dealing with fears and anxieties, and maybe you've been just reaching for control to try to control in every possible way that you can. Maybe it has sucked the joy out of life for you as you have felt the overwhelmingness of what's going on in your life, whatever that happens to be right now. But this is the message today. God is sovereign. He is in control. He created everything that you see. He is the great creator, the great inventor. He is a genius. He knows how it all works. He put it all in motion and all in and the plan in place. And he didn't just put it in motion and then step back and say, okay, let's see what happens. No, He is working and moving, even when we don't see, to bring to fulfillment His ultimate plan and purpose for our lives. And that plan and purpose is good. Do we trust that today? Do we trust that God is sovereign? He is sovereign over COVID-19. I mean, come on. God knew that COVID-19, that the coronavirus was going to happen in 2020. This is not a surprise to Him. He saw it coming, and so there should be no reason for us to fear. Whether we understand it or not, it is a part of His ultimate plan and purpose. If it's happening, He is allowing it. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be smart. That doesn't mean that we don't still have a responsibility. See, don't miss this. Yes, God is sovereign. He's in control of everything. And his plan and purpose, it will come to pass. There is nothing that we can do about it. But we still have a responsibility, and that's a really hard thing to reconcile. But just because two truths are there and they seem like they're in conflict with one another, that doesn't mean that they can't both be true. Here's the bottom line. I don't think we will ever fully understand that concept. Not on this side of heaven. That God is fully sovereign, in control of everything, but that we also still have a responsibility. But that is what Scripture tells us over and over again. God is sovereign, he's in control, but there are certain things that he has commanded us to do. Certain things he's commanded us to live by. Standards he's commanded us to live by. They are both true at the same time. And so please hear me. Yes, God knew COVID was going to happen. Don't be afraid of it. Don't try to reach for control, but also recognize, yeah, be smart. We do have a responsibility, but know this. This is all I'm saying, is that God is in control of it, and there is no reason to worry or fear. He is sovereign over the government. This is one that probably some of us are not going to want to hear. You're not going to want to hear me say this, but God allowed Donald Trump to be president of the United States of America. He did. He also allowed Barack Obama to be president of the United States of America. And George W. Bush and Bill Clinton and George Herbert Walker Bush and Ronald Reagan. And now I've gone all the way back to before I was born. And every other president and every other leader and every other government that has ever been, he has allowed them to be. And yes, there are good and bad governments and good and bad presidents and on and on and on. But it is all part of God's plan to fulfill his ultimate purpose. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about certain issues like, oh, well, whatever. If God's in control, then, you know, let's not do our part and let's just let it happen. He's going to make whoever he wants to be in there anyway. We still have a responsibility. But again, don't miss this. God is in control. He is in control of it all. Whatever the outcome is, don't freak out. Don't panic. It's all going to be okay. He has a plan and it is good. He is sovereign over your job. He is sovereign over your relationships. He is sovereign over your kids, your health, everything. He's sovereign over it all. He is in control over it all. And so we have two choices. This is the way I see it. We've got two choices here. We can choose control and fear and anxiety, or we can choose surrender. Control leads to fear and surrender leads to peace. And so I want to challenge you to do two things with me this week. And these are two things that I'm trying to do myself, because as I stand here and I speak to you today, I wrestle with these exact same things that I know so many of you are dealing with. Number one, surrender to his sovereignty. Surrender to his control, and you will be set free from the fear that has crippled you. That is a promise. God promises that. That if we will just surrender to him, surrender to his ultimate authority, surrender control of our lives, and trust that he is in control and has a good plan and purpose for us, that all of our fear and anxiety and worry will fade away. When we come to terms with God's sovereignty, it should put fear and anxiety to bed. It should, if we really believe that. If we really believe that he is in control and has a good plan and purpose for us, ultimately, there should be absolutely no reason to fear. When life feels out of control, or when it feels like the world is in chaos, we must remember God is in control. He knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. None of this, none of what's happening in our world is like a, oh shoot moment, I didn't see that coming for God. He knows. He sees it all. He's got a plan. He's working that plan. Even though we don't understand it, we might not see it, he is. Do you believe that? Because the moment you actually do, the moment you not only intellectualize it, but believe it in your heart, it will set you free. But then second of all, that's kind of the releasing that we need to do. I want to give you an action step this week. Something to focus on, something to actually do. And that is this: live for his glory. Live for His glory, and you will find the joy that you have been looking for. I think all of us, what we really want in life is we want joy and peace and satisfaction. We try to seek it in a lot of different ways, whether it's through relationships or money or careers or whatever. But what we're really looking for is we're looking for joy and contentment, peace and satisfaction. We're looking for all of that. And here's what I want you to hear today. You were created to find that when you bring glory to God. He is the creator. Whether we like it or not, that's how it is. He deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be worshiped. He deserves our entire life. And so if you really, God is for you. He is. I said that earlier, but I want to say it again. He is for you, but He is not for you in the way that you think He is for you. He wants you to bring Him glory, because that is why you were created. To live for His glory, to be obedient to Him, to follow Him, go wherever He asks you to go, to focus on Him and fixate on Him, on His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross and what He did for us, on this mission in the world that we have to take Jesus to our friends, our family, to our communities, to our region, to our world. Like, that is what is going to bring us joy and peace and contentment when we live fully and totally for Him, making the name of Jesus known. In all things, He is working for the good of those who love Him. And if we love Him, here's what we're going to do. We're going to love people. We're going to do everything that we possibly can to share Jesus with them. We're going to live for God. We're going to live for Christ. And in that is when we will begin to find the peace and the joy and the satisfaction that we are looking for. He has an amazing plan for us, an amazing purpose for us, but we will never experience it until we give over control to the sovereign God, the sovereign Lord of the universe. You know, as we close, you may be watching, you may be listening, and maybe you've always kind of just been like, I'm not sure about this whole God thing. I'm not sure I buy into this whole Jesus thing. More than anything today, here is my desire, here is my prayer, that you would recognize who Jesus is, that He is the Savior of the world, and that through Him, we have an opportunity. We do. We have this amazing opportunity to have relationship with the God of the universe, who is sovereign and Lord over all, but yet wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And He wants to save us from ourselves. He wants to save us from our sin. And He wants to give us this new life where we begin to glorify Him and receive all that He wants and does want to give us. Today, if you've never made that decision, here's my hope and my prayer that you would repent, which is just this beautiful word that means to say, I'm sorry, and that you would begin to follow Him, and that you would make the decision today once and for all to be changed by Him. If you make that decision today, if you want to learn more about that, please come talk to somebody here at True North Church. Reach out to us, message us. We would love to have that conversation with you and begin to disciple you, which again is just this churchy word that means to help people follow Jesus on a deeper level. We would love to be able to do that here at True North Church. It's something that we are so very passionate about. You know, as we get ready to close here, there's one more thing I want to share with you guys. We do this every single week. I'm around here. We believe that the Bible, God's Word, this is so much more than a book, so much more than words on a page. This is the holy, perfect Word of God, and this is the starting place for learning more about Christ, learning more about God, understanding who He is, and this book will change your life more than any message you will ever hear. And we want to get one of these in your hands if you don't have one. We want to encourage you, if you do have a Bible, read it every day. Get in God's Word. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to sit down and read for 3 hours every day. One chapter a day, I believe, would change your life in ways that you cannot believe. We want to be able to also come alongside of you, teach you how to read it. So if you have questions about the Bible, if you have questions about how to read it, please, again, reach out to us, let us know, and we would love to come alongside of you and show you just how powerful that book can be in your life. But hey, we're going to close here. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for joining us throughout this entire series. I encourage you, if you missed any of the messages from God Is, go to our YouTube channel. Hop over to Facebook. You can get our podcast. You can watch or listen in a whole bunch of different ways. Don't miss each one of these messages. I pray that this series has been impactful for you. I pray as we head into this week that we would remember that God is in control. Amen. I am so thankful that I am not in control. And I am praying and rooting for you this week as you navigate this life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your glory. God, I am so thankful that you have awakened my soul and my spirit to recognize that life isn't about me. And that when I live for your glory and I live for your name, my life is so much better. I have so much more joy and peace. God, I pray that in every situation we would give you control, recognizing that control is an illusion. We're not in control of anything. Yes, we have responsibility and you have called us to things, but ultimately you are working your plan for the good of those who love you. Remind us of that this week, whatever we may be going through. It's in Jesus' perfect, holy, precious, amazing name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys. We'll see you soon.